Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our special meditation this morning is the motto text of our convention, recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 17, verse 17, which reads as follows. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior and the gracious head of his church, the author and finisher of our faith, dearly beloved delegates and visitors to our conference convention, fellow hearers of the Savior's word. This coming September, we mark the 66th anniversary of our existence as a conference of Orthodox Lutheran congregations. Our roots as a church body go back to the founding of the Orthodox Lutheran Conference in Okabena, Minnesota, on September 26, 1951, when a group of pastors and laymen withdrew from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in obedience to the Word of God in Romans 16, verse 17. Why? Because of that body's persistent adherence to false doctrine and false practice in clear violation of Holy Writ. It was for this reason that the Orthodox Lutheran Conference chose as its seal and official logo the simple design affixed to our pulpit this morning, which states in the simplest of terms the status controversiae, or the bone of contention, that made our continuation as members of the Missouri Synod impossible. Because of their toleration of and persistent adherence to unscriptural doctrine and practice, contrary to the Word of God, and their refusal to hear and to heed the correction of God himself in his own word, the synodical officials demonstrably denied the principle that Holy Scripture is inerrant, that is, without error, and therefore the only source and standard of Christian doctrine and practice. The seal of the Orthodox Lutheran Conference sets forth two simple sedes doctrinae, or Bible proof texts, which go to the motto of this year's convention. The first is the one little word, as Luther called it, the one little word which Jesus used to address and defeat Satan's temptations in the wilderness, as we read of them in Matthew chapter 4. Gegraptai in the Greek, which simply means it is or stands written. And the words of the Lord Jesus in our text, addressed to his heavenly Father, thy word is truth. The words, it is written, go to the fact that the principle or attribute of inerrancy is not only found in Scripture, it is an attribute of Scripture itself. And the Savior's words, thy word is truth, define what inerrancy is. God's word is the truth. the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It contains no errors. And it is this attribute of Holy Scripture that makes it authoritative, infallible, clear, efficacious, and all-sufficient for our Christian faith and life. And so we consider on the basis of the text before us this morning the motto of our convention, the inerrancy of Holy Scripture, both in its essence and in its application. With Pontius Pilate and all religious skeptics, including all so-called modernists who deny the inerrancy of Scripture, we hear the oft-repeated challenge, "What is truth?" As if no one can really be sure of anything, and that God himself is incapable of the truth, whatever the truth is. And Satan, you know, played that card when he tempted Eve to question God's word and to speculate whether he really meant what he said. "Yea, hath God said?" Did God really say that in the first place? Are you sure? And did God really threaten Adam and Eve with death for defying his prohibition against eating a piece of fruit? Come on now. The devil, Jesus tells us, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Eve bought into his blatant lie, and together with Adam, her willing accomplice, brought sin and death into the world, creating the greatest tragedy ever to befall the human race. And religious skeptics and secular humanists and theological modernists, governed as they are by their perverse, sinful flesh, which exalts itself against God and against all that is worshipped, perpetuate Satan's lie and deny the truth of God's word. Jesus declared in his prayer to the Father, "Thy word is truth." God is not a man that he should lie, the Bible tells us. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In their essence, the Old Testament scriptures, Moses and the prophets, are replete with the words, "Thus saith the Lord." The Lord himself was doing the talking, whether the Father, the Son, also called the angel of the Lord, or the Holy Spirit, or the entire Trinitarian Godhead. God was speaking. The writer to the Hebrews testifies, God, who at sundry times and in diverse or various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. It was God's word that made the worlds. It was his truth that called them into existence. God in the scriptures stated his truth regarding fallen mankind, that they are all gone aside. They are altogether become not just tainted with sin or rendered imperfect, they are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that includes you and me. God stated his truth regarding his just punishment for sinful mankind, saying, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Throughout the entire Old Testament, our truthful God was consistent in his judgment and condemnation of sin and sinners according to his justice. And throughout the New Testament, our truthful God was consistent in his judgment and condemnation of sin and sinners according to his justice. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come short of the glory of God by a millimeter or a mile, it makes no difference. And the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. His word, the pronouncement of his law, is the truth. And the Lord Jesus, who is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, is likewise truthful and consistent in his proclamation of the law. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, he said. He that believeth not shall be damned. God's word, the Holy Scripture, is the truth. That inerrantly and consistently condemns sin and the sinner without the slightest equivocation when it sets forth God's law, when it proclaims God's justice. God in the scriptures also stated his truth regarding his mercy toward fallen mankind in Christ Jesus, the Redeemer of men. The propitiation who satisfied God's justice in man's place. He declared already way back in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 34, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. God stated the truth regarding the Redeemer's vicarious atonement, namely that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, thanks be to God, we are healed. Throughout the entire Old Testament, our truthful God was consistent in his gospel pronouncements made possible by the Redeemer. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And throughout the entire New Testament, our truthful God was consistent in his gospel promises, in the word of reconciliation that he committed to us. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world, who died for all. God was in Christ. Because of Christ's perfect propitiation of his justice, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, not charging their trespasses unto them. For he hath made him who knew no sin, our perfect Redeemer, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he is the propitiation, that perfect satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. His word, the pronouncement of his gospel, is the truth, the inerrant truth. The essence of the Holy Scriptures is absolutely without error and without question. It's the truth to which our truthful God would have us come, he says, that we might believe and be saved. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the inerrant, immutable, true, and living word of our God, which shall stand forever, Isaiah writes in his 40th chapter, and which the Apostle Peter echoes by inspiration of God in 1 Peter 1. The word of his heavenly Father, which our Savior validates in our text. The word which he calls my word, in John 8, 31 and 32, which we heard before. The word which he was sent to proclaim as our divine prophet, as Jesus testified to Pilate, saying, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. But the inerrancy of Holy Scripture in its essence is not an end unto itself. For the Lord Jesus prays in our text on behalf of his disciples, sanctify them through thy truth. It is the inerrancy of Holy Scripture in its application through which the Father in heaven, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, accomplishes that which he pleases by prospering his word of truth in the thing whereto he sent it, namely, for the salvation of mankind. Sanctify means to make holy, or to set apart as righteous from those who are spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God by nature, all those whom he hath chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy and without blame before him in love. The means whereby this transformation or conversion is accomplished is God's word of truth. It's not a false and perverted gospel that accomplishes this transformation. It's the truth of God. The truth of his law in all of its fierceness, which indicts every human being by nature, saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The law which condemns to hell everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, Galatians 3:10. The law that like a hammer breaketh the rock of man's perverse, hard, unbelieving heart in pieces, Jeremiah 23:29. That renders it a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. For the Apostle Paul confesses, I had not known sin but by the law. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then the gospel truth, the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16, doth enter in the sinful soul to quicken. Confess with the hymn writer, hymn 377 in our hymn book. As the Holy Ghost, by means of the sweet good news, the honey of the gospel, brings the cringing penitent, the wretched, unworthy, ungodly malefactor by nature, terror-stricken by the word of God's wrath, brings him everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Fear not, the angel said to the trembling shepherds. Be not affrighted, the angel said to the trembling women at the empty tomb of our Savior. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written in the inerrant word of our God, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What if that were not true? What if that were not reliable? He that believeth on him is not condemned. What if that word not were not inerrant? Thus the Holy Ghost through the gospel brings us to faith in Jesus Christ and imparts to us the blessings of redemption, forgiveness of sin, life and salvation as the gift of God to the undeserving, totally apart from the deeds of the law. If this were not the truth, if this were not even in the slightest degree inerrant, we would be of all men most miserable. God the Father, then, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, again by means of his truth, renews our hearts so that, motivated by the gospel, and out of gratitude for His grace, we are enabled to overcome sin and do good works in conformity with God's law as the evidence of our faith. This is known as sanctification in the narrower sense. Thus, saved alone by grace through faith, Paul writes to the Ephesians, we are His workmanship. We're God's product, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not to merit God's grace, but to praise God's grace. And finally, in the application of the inerrant Holy Scriptures, we are preserved in the true faith by His truth as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On the basis of this truth, not that we make out of Jesus Christ what we want to imagine Him to be, or to be saved on the basis of what we imagine to be God's plan of salvation. We hear His voice. We follow Him in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And no man, no one, according to the Greek, not even Satan himself, shall pluck us out of His hand, John 10:28, or out of His Father's hand, he says. Now, beloved brethren, just think of where we would be spiritually, still sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Think of how uncertain we would be, not knowing for sure about the propitiatory sacrifice of our Savior, not knowing for sure about our justification by grace for Christ's sake through faith. Think of how hopeless of the real anticipation of the glory that shall be revealed in us. If it were not for the inerrant truth of Holy Scripture, the Word of God, which liveth. This is the living Word. And abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:25. The Word through which we have been sanctified as God's children because of the perfect merit and mediation of Christ Jesus, our dear Savior. As Christians, we gratefully thank Him, our divine priest, for His vicarious sacrifice with which He paid the penalty of our guilt. We thank Him for His righteousness, in which we are clothed by faith, in which we stand before God, imputed with His perfect righteousness, so that we are no longer God's enemies, but His friends. We thank Him for His efficacious prayer on our behalf to His Heavenly Father. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. May we all, as those who are thus sanctified, no longer, henceforth, no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again to the praise of his grace and in gratitude for his blessed truth. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, unto life everlasting. Amen.